to Living Springtime from Amazing Love Assembly Enugu with Bishop Amechi Nwachukwu ministering.
We continue with our reflections on the book of Jonah. You notice something significant, that God in his infinite goodness and mercy bestowed deliverance and salvation to the people of Nineveh. Sometimes Christian witness is impaired because we make very terrible assumptions on people. Oh, they should have known better. Ah, they should know what they are doing. Why? These assumptions can act as a hindrance to faith. If you look at what God said about the people of Nineveh, you'll be surprised the circumstances in which he spoke to them. In Jonah chapter 4, we read very interesting discussion between God and the people. In Jonah chapter 4. Look at what he said in Jonah chapter 4. From verse 9. Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about a plant?" And he said, "It is right for me to be angry even to death." We've already in the main broadcast expounded on the suicidal tendencies of this great man of God. But what we are reflecting here is the little discourse that God had with him at the close of the book. Verse 10, Jonah chapter 4. But the Lord said, "You have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night, perished in a night." Verse 11. "Should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons?" And listen to this, very interesting. "Who cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and much livestock." Incredible. What is God's characterization of the people of Nineveh, their sin and all their wickedness and everything that turned Jonah so very off? God said, "There are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. And besides, that they have much cattle." God interested in goats and animals, dogs and cats? God looked at people who are committing sins and he said, "These people, let's give them the gospel chance. Let's preach to them first." Manon Eju, come if one name. His father was in the church. His mother was this. He was that. Listen. Let's share the gospel. It's possible that if we will come up from our high horse and simply do what the Great Commission commands us to do, to share the gospel with every creature, it's possible that some of these people will assume know what they are doing, may actually not know their left hand from their right hand. It's very possible that the whole thing that has been occasioned in their particular attitude has been ignorance. You know, the same thing is the kind of thing you notice in the life of Jesus. When Jesus was hanging on that tree on the crucifixion day, this is what he said in the book of Luke. If you care to look into that Gospel of Luke chapter 23, in Luke chapter 23, and this is what we read in those areas, if you are there. Luke chapter 23, from verse 31. "For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry?" Let me get back a little bit to pick up the context. Luke chapter 23, from verse 28. "But Jesus turning to them, the women, the multitude of the people followed him, and women who was mourned lamented him." Verse 28. "Jesus turning to them said, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves.'" and for your children. Verse 29 of Luke chapter 23. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren wombs that never bore, and the breast which never nursed. Verse 30. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. Jesus is talking about a situation that will come in the last days. By the way, the last days are already upon us. Verse 31. For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry? Verse 32. There were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, where they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Verse 34. Listen to the master. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. What? They don't know what they are doing, and they said, I cast out demons by the power of Beelzebub. They don't know what they are doing when they said, I said what I never said, that I'll destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. They don't know what they are doing when they took me in a kangaroo trial in the night. Who said they don't know what they are doing? They surely know what they are doing. My friend, God's testimony for this prophet Jonah, God told him that these people he was so anxious to have destroyed don't know either their left hand or their right hand. That's what God said in that Jonah chapter 4, verse 11. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and have much lies talk? But you know, you need to hear some Christians today. They may not even assume you know, but may God have mercy on you, and you are their enemy, or their perceived enemy. Oh, Holy Ghost fire, kill them. Holy Ghost fire, burn them. Angel, chase them. The other one, this and that. Listen, listen, listen. Perpetuating wickedness in the name of God is not anything. By the way, who cares about it? You can call Holy Ghost fire, shall I hear him in? Call Holy Ghost fire, anything you like, it shall not stand. You know why? Costless shall not alight. Besides, no weapon fashioned against God's child shall prosper. If Holy Ghost fire were at our whims and caprices to be sent to places and destroy people, the whole world would have been destroyed 1 million times over. Kill him, destroy them. Holy Ghost fire, burn them. Lord, send down their fire. We'll baton their this and that. All this kind of vengeance and wickedness and frustrations. Frustrated people. But you know, God said to his frustrated priest here, you want me to destroy the people of Nineveh? You believe they know what they are doing? This is my reading on them. They cannot discern either their left hand from their right hand. And you know, by the way, they have a lot of live cattle. I'm alive, Panetano. And Jesus was praying on that very day. I said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They do not know what they are doing. If only we could be more sympathetic in our message. If only we could be able to take people and give them just the benefit of the doubt. If only we could be less assuming. If only we could be less presumptuous. If only there could be more compassion to the message of the Messiah. If only we could be more understanding and look at what the Bible said of him in the book of Isaiah. This is the man we represent. This is the person we are. This is the person we are pretending to also carry his message. And what does the Bible say about Jesus when Isaiah was prophesying about him? He said, behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I put my spirit upon him to bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed, I'm reading Isaiah 42, verse 3 now. Isaiah 42 verse 3. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flask he will not quench. He bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till I have established justice in the earth. The coastlands shall wait for his law. You know, a lot of intractable Christian crises can be resolved if people can just believe. Maybe the other person really didn't mean the things he said the way he said it. It's possible he really didn't mean those things the way he acted them. It's possible. It's very possible that if we can be open, look at what he said here. Give them a chance. I'm not asking you to be reckless. God was asking Jonah, let them hear the gospel. Let them hear the truth. Give them that chance to hear. And let's see how they respond. Amazing how the people of Nineveh responded. Vindicating the wisdom of the Almighty God. Vindicating the truth that God said concerning them. You know, when they heard the gospel, when the people of Nineveh heard the gospel, indicating that Jonah, who was saying, destroy them, burn them up, send sulfur, do this and that. When God said, these people don't know what they are doing. Give them a chance to hear the gospel. Was God right? Of course. Look at what the story said in Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. Jonah took up the message the way he would like it. From verse 3. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Did you pick up anything like repent or Nineveh shall be overthrown? Maybe it's implied. Then verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Verse 6, then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. God relented from the disaster that he has said he will bring upon them, and he did not do it. Surely God was vindicated. God said, should I not have pity on Nineveh, that great city in which more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand? Yet, in Jonah's estimation, because they knew what they were doing, they didn't deserve any second chance. There was no room for them to have any expiation. There was no room for mercy. You know, our witness can be enhanced if we can have more compassion on the sinner. If we can let them know, yeah, we are not just out to preach a message of last day judgment, but a message of judgment tempered with mercy. And today is the day of salvation. Today is still the day of redemption. We are still in the epoch of grace. And no matter how you may think, somebody had gotten so way out, condemnation has never helped any situation. Always make room for redemption. And that's how you can always tell whether something is coming from God or from the pit of hell. Is there redemption in this thing? Where is the redemptive line? Where is the way to Calvary? Where is the way out of the pit? God said, These people didn't know the left or to the right. His son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Stephen, one of the first deacons, prayed, O God, do not lay this sin to their charge. Moses before them, who didn't enter the promised land because of the extreme provocation of the people of God, interceded numerous occasions when God said, I will destroy them and I will make of you a new nation, a new people. Moses was going to cry, Father, don't do it. And in one of his writings he said, Lord, if your presence will not go with us, do not lead us henceforth. Let's learn to be compassionate. Let's learn to be merciful. You see, mercy triumphs on the day of judgment. As far as Jonah was concerned, people of Nineveh, burn them out, destroy them. Reminds one of the sons of Boanerges. You recall the story of John and James, the sons of Zebedee. While passing through a city, Samaria, and some people will not allow them to pass through their bedroom. They wanted to cross from their bedroom, from their compound, to get to the next place. He said, no, go and take the bush path. Don't have to cross through our compound. Don't you know whom we are? And they wanted God to give them permission to call down fire from heaven to burn them. Why? Because they wouldn't allow you to pass through their land. Oh God. Oh God. Sometimes we mask selfishness in fake spirituality. And sometimes we believe that our voice and our word is the word of God. And when anybody disagrees with us, how dare they disagree with the very oracle of God? My friend, if you are the oracle of God, show it in humility. Show it in your character. Show it in your mercy. Show it in your love. Don't sit and pontificate when there is no mercy around you. There is no grace around you. There's no love around you. You're full of all manner of evil and wickedness. As the scripture says, let God be true and let all men be liars. You and I are but clay in God's hand. God is a potter. We are but clay. He molds us after his will. Thank God that God did not heed the voice of Jonah. Thank God that the people in Nineveh that didn't know their left or their right hand had opportunity of hearing the gospel. And you know, the same thing is going on today. So many places, maybe those of different faith, will think, well, no, that area is lost. There's nothing we can do. Nothing is lost with God, my friend. Get to the thickest of those areas. They may have never heard the gospel. Don't assume that because there was a mighty evangelist that grew from there, that they have heard the gospel. They may not. Take the gospel to your neighbor. Share it in the office. Share it on the craft. Share it wherever you are. Let them know that Jesus Christ is King. He is the Lord of Lords. He alone is the author of peace. In him alone we have peace and stability. Let's share the gospel. Let's let the world know that apart from him, we can do nothing. It is important to see that as God concluded, what about in their life cattle? And okay, I've understood the one you said about people in their life cattle. Because of cattle, God did not want to destroy them. You know what that shows? It shows you the depth of the character, of the love and the compassion of this great and awesome God. If God will not destroy a city because they have a lot of cattle, can't you see what is he saying? Don't you get the message? Can't you get it? God is not there looking out for somebody to destroy. Oh no! He's looking for people to save. Our God is a redemptive God. And whenever there's calamity or destruction upon a people or upon a city, you will know that like the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, their cry have gone into the nostrils of God. And intercede as Abraham would, destruction was already marked for Sodom and Gomorrah. My prayer and my cry is that we who represent the Almighty God will not miss any opportunity, no matter how characterized individuals or communities may be, no matter their notoriety, we can still believe, whether they are in jail or out, that they can still have opportunity of listening to the gospel and repenting. For who knows whether what they did, they really understood. But come to think about it. Does anyone really think that somebody who knows the consequences, the spiritual and the cosmic consequences of sin, will choose to sin? If you realize what sin is in the spiritual realm, that it causes spiritual disequilibrium, it causes confusion, it causes chaos, it brings disaster and ailment and all that follow it, do you think that anybody would like to get into self-destruct kind of machinery system? Do you think anybody would like to take something upon himself? Like Solomon asked, can somebody walk on fire and then his bodies and his foot will not be burnt? Can we carry coal fire on our bodies and it will not burn our clothing? Is it not also reasonably realistic to see that there's a certain level of ignorance that make people continue in sin? You know how Paul put it? He said, the God of this world have blinded their eyes of understanding, so they cannot come to the knowledge of the gospel. It takes grace to see the light. And you and I are called the light of the world. A city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Where it's salt, let's not fail God. We are described as Christ's ambassadors, let's not fail Him. He said He's prone to enhance the ministry of reconciliation. Let's do our job. I pray wherever you are as a child of God, you will wake. And as the closing hours of this world is ticking, well, let's strain ourselves for every opportunity to make sure that even if there's a cauldron boiling with gospel message coming out of a home, when you go there, don't assume. Make sure they know the gospel. Make sure they know the truth. And even if there's a cauldron of hatred oozing out, telling you, don't dare come near, let's still go. God may yet reach them. No situation is beyond redemption with God. And with God, remember, all things are possible. I pray that as we have just concluded our studies in the book of Jonah and reflected on the message that God is saying, remember, He said that Jonah, the generation asked Him in Matthew, what sign do you show us? He said, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign. No sign will be shown except the sign of Jonah. The sign of Jonah is a sign that God is saying that while people may deserve judgment and calamity, being wiped out, I'll still send my messengers. And even when those messengers are not willing, I must make sure that my counsel shall stand. People will get to hear me. That's why we are reaching out on you on television, radio, wherever. Whatever means we can. To make sure that this redemptive gospel of Jesus Christ gets to everywhere. And our prayer and our desire is that we shall learn from the lessons of history. He said, these things were written as an example for those of us whom the close of the age have come. May God in heaven help you and me. If you are not a child of God, you join me in this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I surrender my life to you. I repent of sins. Lord, forgive me. Save me and make me your child. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you pray this prayer, I tell you, God in heaven is waiting. He's heard you. Get to the nearest Bible teaching, Bible believing church and tell the vicar there that you pray to receive Christ. And the man on the television asks you to see him for follow up. They will follow you up.